on today's show. We got a fun one planned for you. Welcome back to the studio. Hey, East Coast is rocking. West Coast is happening. Matty Potts is fixed. Belly is here. Brax is missing, but he'll be back, I believe, on Friday. Either way, the crew is back in the house, and we're ready to spend another morning with you. We got a whole lot planned for you. I have fixed the kneeling in the NFL issue. I'm not going to get all political on you. I just got an idea. I'm sick and tired of everybody talking about it. It's in the news, and then I realized, wait a minute. I figured it out. I've also got some stand-up from L.A. We've got Belly, who ran into Annie Cruz and was the more famous one of the two. Randomly in San Diego from Comic-Con.
It was it was awesome.
We have so much to tell you guys. Just strap it on, hang out, and we are ready to rock. It's Looch Dog in the Morning, TTR Studios.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Skater D.
Hey, I'm John Charles Meyer, producer of Dave Made a Maze.
Hey, what's up? This is Scott Lodotti, author of Play the Devil, and you are listening to Looch Dog.
Looch Dog.
Looch Dog.
This is Andy Fucking Cruz from SiriusXM 415, and you're listening to Looch Dog in the Morning.
Number one podcast in the world. Yeah, boy.
Welcome back, folks. We're pumped, ready to go. That's right, Annie Cruz is on our intro, and she was hanging out with Belly on the West Coast. Dude, you ran into her completely randomly.
That was one of the funniest times I've ever had in craziest small world experiences.
We have to get into that. I've got Matty Potts, who is in the West Coast studio. What's up, man? I have to hear that beautiful voice.
Greetings and salutations. Oh, wow. I do sound sexy as hell today.
He's back. Yes. Do we have our sounds? Can I get a touchdown?
Oh, shit.
There it is. All right, welcome back, folks. Let's get into a fun one. Belly, you let the whole song play when you did that surprise show. Did you realize you let the whole intro play out?
Oh, you heard me realize it, right?
So funny.
I was like, and I just let that whole song play, and it's gone.
You don't know what we're talking about. Braxton Blue and Belly hijacked the studio. I was gone. It was really funny. And, they did a great job. I was really proud to see you two just handle it with no problems at all. It's a fun show to listen
especially
to.
Especially since we didn't ask Looch to do it at all.
We don't have to. I mean, we're in here. We're all in it together, you know. So yeah. I'm not trying. It was just fun to watch. All of a sudden, I was like, wait, what is this? What is this? Oh, God, what did they do? And you did great. So go ahead and check that out. Belly and Brax hijacks the show is the name of that one. But we've got a lot to do because, I mean, Belly and I haven't seen each other for 2 weeks. We just spent like an hour hanging out in the green room.
I just got home.
I mean, he just got home like 3 hours ago from the red eye.
Yeah, it was 6 a.m.
Did you sleep on the plane?
Nope.
Potts?
No, I've just realized I was off the show for 2 weeks, which is the longest stretch that I've been off since I've been on the show, which is over a year at this point. So it was weird. One, it was really nice to sleep in, but two, it did feel a little weird to not have that in my weekly schedule. I mean, it's been part of my life, you know.
I have to say we missed you. Like, the show isn't the same without you. It's not. I need the sounds. I need your crude sense of humor. I need you to tell me to GF me. It's all
GF
there.
GF me.
That's well, what... I'm here and I'm all bottled up and ready to burst. So let's do it.
Have you eaten any foods from the Publix grocery store lately?
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, no, we don't have Publix here, but no, Ralph's, Pavilions, Vons. No, I mean, what's funny is Looch and Belly were both here at separate times over the last 2 weeks, and we did go to the grocery store, and I consciously said, look, I'm not going to, steal food because I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. So I've actually been on my best behavior for the last couple weeks.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I went to Costco yesterday and spent $245 like some loser actually spending money and not stealing food. It really sucks.
So are you saying you've been on your best behavior around me? That's what you're saying? When I came to visit, you were on your best behavior? Is that what you want to start this show with?
I'm gonna double down and say I was on my best behavior.
So your best behavior
my nervous laugh, in case you're wondering.
It's a very nervous laugh because I don't know if the people realize, but his best behavior left me out in the middle of the city in L.A., wide open by myself for 2 hours with no idea where he is.
Can I just say, I've been in L.A. off and on for a total of almost 10 years, and I had one of the best nights that I've had in L.A.
All right.
Or not even days. Day. One of the best days. And I love nothing more than day drinking. And me and Looch had one of the best afternoons I've ever had.
It was fun.
And it made me fall more in love not only with obviously Luch, but with this city, with living in this city and the potential that you can have just running around like a madman. I mean, it was great.
We must have walked the entire Sunset Strip. So let's back it up.
Dude.
Let's back it up. We went to tell Standa. I got off the plane and I said, go ahead.
Yeah, let's start there. He got off the plane. Of course, I take him to In-N-Out Burger. And while we're standing in the insanely long line, he looks at me and goes, you know, I mean, this is kind of a long shot, but if I could do like an open mic, that would be so much fun. In less than 24 hours, he was doing an open mic set.
Well, that's what was awesome. Like Potts just ran into somebody or saw on their Instagram telling open mic at a cafe. I mean, it was just really neat to see. Like, I will say, I would never want to live. Look, dude, I know you like L.A. One thing that I noticed about it, I would never want to live there full time because they treat eye contact like it's the plague there, first of all. I didn't like that. Like, if you, dude, I think I can crush this city. I think you would dominate this city because just walking up to somebody and putting your hand out, shaking their hand and making eye contact, you are already 10 times like, who is this guy ahead of
watching
the next person?
People.
Well, it was when I was there, it was funny because I actually noticed that I was very respectful. I would say, please, thank you. Even when ordering at the bar, I'd say, may I please have.
How's your day going? You ask about the person's day and stuff.
And they're just like, so where are you from? Because they right away know I'm not from there.
Right.
Like, right away.
Right. Oh, where's this
something's
boy from?
A dead giveaway. I wasn't sure what. It might be because I said please and thank you. But that's more because my mama raised me right, not because of any other reasons. She just was someone that told me to say please and thank you. So for all those folks who don't, do. It's just gesture. It starts off everything positive.
Luch is not kidding either. People would look at him like there was either something wrong with him, maybe that he was like a little bit special or that he was like a leper. I mean, people... it was cool to see because I do think you would kill it in this city just for that reason, because you make the extra effort and you don't know who you are meeting. You could literally meet the person that's going to change your life standing in an elevator.
Dude, I had dinner. Listen, I was out there for like two nights and I got, okay, so let's just give the people, let's all just, whew.
I know, right? But you know, it's funny. He says that. And I actually have a perfect story for this last night at the airport with my buddy. And someone he met. So
No. Take it then. That's appropriate. And we'll all just take a deep breath, and then we'll get into why Potts left me in the city because of how good of a time we had. So go ahead.
By the end of the trip, you know how trips go sometimes when you've been on a trip for a long time. Basically, at the end of it, you're ready to go. It's one of those things. It's not like you
ready to leave.
You're ready to kind of get back to your bed. You're ready to get back to your normal routine.
Yeah,
and you're ready to stop spending money. We actually went to the airport decently early, like before our flight, like three hours before our flight. So got through security easy, I checked in the night before, so we had boarding pass set up. But I had two passes to the United Club, which is like a club inside of the airport that pass members can go into, enjoy some free snacks, some free food, also complimentary Coors Light and Budweiser. Which was very enjoyable as well.
I'm surprised you left the airport.
Yeah. Right? They dragged him onto the plane.
Yeah.
Right? It felt like that. But there was this cute girl sitting about four seats down from me and my buddy. And eventually, you know, you sit at a bar long enough near people, you're going to start talking to them. It's just a fact of life.
I mean, if you're personable.
Obviously, people were moving in and out, but we were kind of cemented in for multiple hours. Like a whole hour, and we were like, all right, so she's not going anywhere anytime soon, it seems. We're not going anywhere. So she ended
up. That's just like when you show up in class and there's only one seat next to you, and then a hot girl walks in and she has to sit next to you, and you're stuck there together for about an hour.
It's like wishing.
It's
like wishing that one of your neighbors moves away, that a cute girl might move into that house
and then
start
they do.
Out with the silly romantic life of we grew up as neighbors. Yeah, you know, you have those pipe dreams. Obviously, that's not the dream.
So who is this that you meet at the airport? Who is this girl?
So this girl's a nice girl. Her name's Christina. She's from L.A. She's actually flying to D.C., but not on our flight. But she's flying to D.C. to then fly to Puerto Rico for some job stuff. She tells us her whole story. She actually missed her flight that morning and missed her flight for this work trip. So now she's stuck at the airport, barely made it onto this last flight of the night.
Oh, my God.
Now she's getting there.
What a nightmare.
She'll be getting to Puerto Rico at some point today at 1 p.m. Anyway, my roommate and her start talking, hitting it off, and, you know, I pipe in some things here and there, like bring up something my roommate may have brought up or in the conversation so that he can go on another tangent talking to her. Trying to be the wingman, best wingman I can be in all phases of the game. So she gets to talking about where she's from, and Jason, my friend, actually had a job offer in this city where she's from. And now she's like telling him, like, go, do it. And it's one of those things where I really think it convinced him to just jump at the chance and say, you know what, you never know who you meet in an airport to tell you to, like, the signs you see to really say, you know what, maybe I'll jump at this opportunity.
It's incredible. I mean, I was eating dinner with a film, like a 30-year film editor in the business, and also somebody who pitches scripts for a living. Like, people pitch scripts to her. That's who I just randomly had dinner with. What? Like, what?
When did you have dinner with someone like that?
That's when I was out there. I mean, that's how random it is. I mean, I didn't know I was going to dinner with these people. I just ended up at a dinner with these people. And of course, I'm talking to them, and I don't even know. I'm talking to them like they're my buddy. That's the best advice I can give anyone. Just treat people you meet like you already know them.
And be open and proud of what you talk about and do.
But people who are important love that if you don't go through that important phase. If you just already cut to the like, oh, get out of here. Come on, let's have some ribs. Who cares?
And that's how I know I've been in LA for a while, because it's honestly a little bit jarring to see that.
Dude,
like every time you did it, even I was like, oh my God, why is he talking to people? Right? I mean, seriously, I mean, he like went out of his way. He would ask him questions. And I'm like, quite frankly, I don't have the energy to do it. I don't have that energy. It takes, you got
to
be on.
That has to be who you are. You're right. It's not like I'm trying to do that. That just is who I am. Mm-hmm. And if you were trying to, you're right. That would be absolutely exhausting. But anyway, so I got off the plane and I said, yeah, it would be awesome if I could do some stand up. And Potts is like, oh, well, look at this. We found one that we could do. And it's
I literally called him. I was at work. I called him. I go, signups are in 2 hours. Giddy up. And he stepped up.
I mean, I was down. I wasn't kidding. I mean, I want to know that I wanted to be able to say I've told stand up in LA. That's all. I just wanted that experience. So, I mean, We ended up at this cafe at, like, what, 4 o'clock on a Monday?
Yep.
I mean, you could just... I figured also that it would be way stuffier than anything in D.C. I've told stand-up in D.C., and let me tell you something. They don't even let you in the room. As the comic, you have to be in the back room, and then you're not even allowed to, like, sit in the crowd because, God forbid, you took a seat from a guest. Can I stand in the back? I just want to get a feel for the room, man.
Right.
And then the other comics... don't sit with you in the back room, because who are you? We've been doing this for years. On the up and up in D.C. with traffic and nobody watching and nobody gives a shit and they're all that care about politics. So everybody, like the comics out here are like all fucking like hardened and like they don't, like they're doing the grind, but like they're worn down, dude. Whereas you get to L.A., I go out to sign up and everybody's like, hey, how's it going? Are you new? Oh, what are you doing? Are you going to tell a set? All right. And I'm like, can I? Yeah, of course you can. I said, all right, well, so we ended up doing it. It was really fun. And I think we kind of stumbled, Potts and I kind of stumbled across my persona and my comedic persona moving forward, which is how did I get
it's
here?
So great.
How did you want to tell the people?
No, you go. I mean, it's just,
I think it'd be funnier from you.
I mean, so, I mean, I think I've kind of helped. Like, because we were day drinking, of course.
Oh, we were
and
hammered.
So while he's sitting here telling this story that he's told on the show about how he found himself in the middle of a rub and tug situation. And I'm sitting here and I'm like literally watching his entire act and persona unfold. And I'm like, this is it. And I'm like, everything about the situation, like him coming off the plane and ending up even doing the stand up set. It's like, how did I get here? And I mean, Luch is actually the one that said, well, that's my persona. How did I get here? But I'm like trying to explain it to him. And I'm like, no, you're like this innocent guy that just ends up in these freaking hilarious situations. And you just are dealing with it. And like every set should just be a different story on how did I get here?
And
I mean, literally just like that. And I mean, honestly, that could literally be his entire career. I mean, it's
we're
so
just
funny.
Well, I could start. I mean, I want to start off with what I was going to say is I would start every set with, so I ever tell you guys about the time?
Right.
Because I don't want to get a look. Mitch Hedberg is amazing. Comedians who tell actual jokes, I find that to be so, I respect that so much because Billy, to land a joke is so fucking hard, man.
Oh, yeah, it's going to land hard,
like
too.
To do a punchline and then stop and then hope that people laugh is like the epitome of putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
It's the epitome of fear from public speaking because you're putting the punchline out and then you shut up and you just hope for a laugh. In radio, there is no laugh, so we give each other laughs or maybe we just move on.
We give each other touchdowns here on Luch Talk in the morning.
That's true.
But what's funny is, you know, you talk about like, Luch, you kind of not only gave your punchline at the start, but you also, it's like people, you kind of knocked him off their guard a bit because he walks up on stage, grabs a mic, and goes, like you said, have I ever told you guys a story about how I accidentally got a rub and tug? And everyone's like, what?
Off the
and
bat, like, everybody just
with the punchline.
Right. I start with the punchline and then I just want to entertain you for the story. That's kind of how I'm going.
That's
for
actually
it.
How you write articles too. Like you start
Grab
with
em.
The final score. You say like you start with the most like key play of the game, saying like the 24-yard touchdown pass to so and so clinch the game for the so
and so. And then you get into
the details.
Into
the meat.
Absolutely.
But, you know, something that really interesting that happened in the middle of his set that would have thrown literally 99.9% of the comics on their ass.
God.
The mic. He was having serious mic issues. And he was messing with it for a second. It was honestly like really annoying.
It was
the
connection of the cable to the microphone was bad. And the only problem that was ever we even had with Potts' studio, I went out there to troubleshoot. We bought $450 worth of equipment just to make sure we had everything that we could possibly need to be new, and then we would just try and figure out what was wrong. We tried the cheapest thing first, just the mic cable, and that was it. And then we returned the equipment. Because, dude, a mic cable, if it doesn't connect properly to the microphone, all you're going to hear is...
It ruins your day, for
it
sure.
It ruins the whole timing of everything. Comedic, it's all timing. Comedy's all timing.
Yeah. And so, you know, Luch takes a beat, thinks about what he's going to do because the mic is just not really working. He just puts the mic down and literally his set got better because he could start using his hands like a true Italian.
I was, dude. I was so.
And I mean, that would, dude, I bet 9 out of 10 comics would completely lose their pace and maybe even just be like, I can't do this set. But no, he was like, he totally rolled with it. And you could see again, like almost like when Luch goes up and says hi to someone, people were almost taken aback by the fact that he put the mic down and started, they're like, whoa.
I was getting fist bumps by the comics as they were leaving. They would stop by the table and fist bump me out of nowhere. I got a really ridiculous ovation. I'm not doing this to brag. Yeah. I'm saying that this was a really weird thing that happened.
Was weird.
The ovation that we got, when they introduced me, I hadn't said a word yet. I hadn't earned anything. I hadn't even gotten on stage. And Potts,
weird.
Dude, she introduced me as if I was Dave Chappelle just dropping in for a quick set.
And I taped it. Hopefully I got that.
I have it on tape.
People were like hooting and hollering and cheering. And it was like, again, it was like, what the hell is going on
here?
Do
you know why I think? I'll tell you why I think, honestly. If you go to a comedy show in DC, every comedian has a friend that they bring. I bring Belly or Brax, you know, somebody that knows a camera, knows production, and they're going to bring somebody that has a camera and they're going to tape their set because nobody is going to be in a comedy club in DC that's going to be able to expose you to the world. You're not getting discovered at a comedy club in DC that's just an open mic. It's not like LA where it's like you never know who's in the crowd. It's not like that here.
Yeah.
From the social media lounge. Show that clip.
I'll do it on Friday. I will. That's my promise to you. I will show that on Friday.
Friday's show. Tune in. Mark your calendars. Luch Dog in the Mornings coming to you live.
But I mean, they already heard
on
the
a replay.
If you just show the introduction that you got, then you walk on stage and you doing that. So have I ever told, like literally like the first 10 seconds, like I'm sure everyone would, I want to see it.
Well, it's funny because what I was going to say is I feel that in DC, everybody has a camera because they're trying to show that set to somebody in a different city so they can get discovered. Yeah. But we showed up in LA and Potts just had a tripod with a little like easy like mount for a cell phone and a little cell phone microphone.
Yeah.
But it did have a little fluffy thing on the microphone kind of.
I took it off. I had it. I took it off.
Well, I'll tell you something. We were the only people in the room with a microphone, and I'm pretty sure, and a camera, I'm pretty sure that the difference was, instead of thinking, oh, who the hell is this guy? You're not going to get seen by anybody, which is basically what you get in D.C., everybody in the crowd, all the comedians was like, who is this guy? Is this somebody? Yeah. Is he somebody here?
They were playing it. I guess, you know, I didn't think they were, I guess, playing it up for the camera.
I honestly think they might have been playing it up for the camera, knowing that we were taping a set and knowing how important that is.
Again, how like supportive of that community. Dude, it was such a cool day, man. It was so much fun.
That's something we talked about a little bit. It's just more people out there are more creative minded in their thinking. Just kind of their output.
Belly, everybody here is asking you, what do you do? What do you do for work? How do you do? Okay, that's cool. Well, you meet somebody and say, oh, that's awesome. Okay, what's your name? I'm Adam. Okay, I'm Jason. Oh, awesome. Jason, what do you do? That's the immediate question. And I'm going to tell 100%. You something. Out there, it's more like, hey, what's up? Okay, cool. Oh, who's your agent?
Right.
You know, that's me, the difference.
They'll ask, what do you do? But it doesn't mean work.
No, but I just, that the mindset here and the mindset there, or I will say it was a creative boost in energy. So now we'll take it to how I got left in the middle of the city. Let's get funny, and then I've got some NFL talk. But not the way
Hopefully you think. We're caught up on all the news.
I am not going to bog you down with politics just because I'm back in D.C. Not happening. We don't do that here. But I do think I have an interesting idea that I wanted to run by the people. We'll talk about it next. It's Looch Dog in the morning.
At LITMRadio.com.